Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 112th episode of the Manor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Roger Bodie, joined as always with my best friend and other co-host, Michael Hamilton. Michael, are you ready for camp this year? Is Camp Hamilton ready?
I'm never ready, but I have most of the things ready to go, and I am very excited for it. So every year for my birthday, I run like a small, I call it Camp Hamilton. It's like a little event where I run a bunch of games and have a bunch of my friends come down and spend basically this year it's a weekend. It hasn't been a weekend in the past, but I've converted to weekends and run stuff, give out prize coins as people do activities and play games. And then on the last day, I run a raffle where you get to put your you get raffle tickets with your prize coins. You get to put them in like different prizes that you want. And it's a lot of fun.
You're joining me in the old man club this year too, right?
I am turning 30. Does that qualify me as an old man?
Yeah, you're old now.
Okay.
You're going to have to do old man things now, like go to the doctor and go, every time you get up.
I have actually been going to the doctor much more regularly since Worlds because I have not felt financially blocked from going to the doctor, which has been nice. I don't know about the grunting when I get up. I'm trying to exercise, going hiking on Thursday, that's the day that this goes live. Going hiking today as of the podcast going live, trying to keep my body in at least reasonable shape.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I've let myself go in my old age. Got wrinkles now. I got a big fat belly. Oh, I got bad knees.
I know you said you were treadmilling. Like you were talking to me about treadmilling before.
Yeah. I've been trying, but you know, only once you let yourself go, it takes a while to get yourself back to peak condition.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever been in as good a shape as I was the end of middle school, but when I was running and doing sports and stuff. Those were the good old days.
My office has a gym. I should really take advantage of it. Like I have this fantasy in the back of my mind of taking like a gym bag, and then I can go and then do stuff during my lunch, and then I never take the gym bag.
You just got to put it in your car like the night before so it's there.
That's a good idea. But I would also need a gym bag. I guess I could just take a second book bag, but then I look crazy with two book bags, you know?
If you say so. I've definitely walked around with two book bags before.
I'm sure a lot of people thought you were crazy.
No. No one would ever think that.
Never.
So we got a new Flesh and Blood set. All the cards are spoiled and released, and we don't have a limited calling that just wrapped up to talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to do a CC hero tier list, and you said, no, that's next week's content. First, we have to talk about the exact same list of 10 cards that everybody knows are the best cards in the set, and we're going to talk about them, and then we're going to all be in agreement by the end of the episode.
Yeah, I don't think our lists are going to be the same. I would be quite shocked. There's a few cards that like maybe could have made my list, but I don't know. There's cards that are like good, and I put the cards that are like really good, and I expect them to be like deck warping / format warping at the top of my list. And then the other cards that are maybe good and we'll see play, and the heroes they're illegal to see play in, but not really changing much, I didn't give them a spot on the list.
Okay. Well, I do have one cheat card. There's one common card that didn't quite make my top 10. So my honorable mention is the only card that comes in common out of anyone's list. It's Arcane Polarity.
Okay. Tell me about Arcane Polarity.
Basically what it says, it says when you take arcane damage, you gain 4 life. So there's a lot of arcane damage flying around in Classic Constructed these days. I don't know if you've ever taken one rune chant and then gained 4 life immediately, but it feels pretty good.
Okay. I believe you that it feels pretty good. Sigil of Solace is a card that has seen a decent amount of play over its time in Classic Constructed, and I think it makes sense that Polarity will be good against decks that are dealing arcane damage to you.
Yeah, I just think it just slots right in over Oasis Respite now.
Yeah, it did not make my list. I think it makes sense that if you're trying to prevent arcane damage and gaining a life is just as good as preventing, then it makes sense to just include that instead. But
yeah. So your common card's the Runeblade one? Rune Ravager Swarm?
No, we'll get to that. First, I want to talk about my honorable mention.
Sure.
So my honorable mention is an honorable mention because it's not legal in CC, but I think it is a very, very good card. It's Regrowth Shock. It is the Lightning Earth Runeblade meld card. This card is going to be very, very good in Briar and Living Legend. And if we ever get another Earth Lightning Runeblade, they will play this card. It's Earth. It's a non-attack action. It blocks three. And on top of that, it is just a really good card to actually cast. If you deal one arcane damage, you're getting to shock them for one damage, and you're also getting to pick up a zero cost attack back from your graveyard. So you'll get basically a card and a point of damage out of it. It's very, very strong. And yeah, I think also being having two elements on one card for any fuse potential is really nice. And again, Earth block three non-attack action. If you want to be casting Channel Mount Heroic, this is the dream card for you.
Yeah. It's so close to being good. It has the pesky lightning half. If it didn't have the pesky lightning half, I'd agree with you. It's going to make a huge splash in Living Legend format. But since it has that pesky lightning side, it's not playable in the only playable Living Legend hero for the foreseeable future. But once that gets addressed, this card will probably be pretty good.
You think there's only one playable
hero? We'll get into it, buddy. Okay, let's start with number 10. All right, I got Plow Under.
Okay, Plow Under almost made my list. Didn't quite make my list. Talk to me about Plow Under.
It's a decomposed card that messes with people's arsenals. It's a block three earth card that does decompose things. It's good. It's got some disruption to it. Seems like a good 10 card.
Yeah, if my list went to 12, Plow Under would be in one of those last slots, but didn't quite make it for me. I think it's really good. Unfortunately, I think the one thing that I have frequently tried to do with two cost attacks is combine them with Tunic and Pummel. And Plow Under is not great at doing that because you can't arsenal the Pummel to set up for it. And I mean, it just means you have to draw the Plow Under first to combine it with Pummel. Because if you have the Pummel in your arsenal, then when you play the Plow Under, if you decompose, your Pummel goes away. And that's sad. So a lot harder to CNC Pummel with Plow Under. Still, I think it's a good card. Probably not going to be combined with Pummel.
What's your 10 card then?
My number 10 is Sigil of Brilliance. I think this card is pretty strong. There are some Sigil support cards that the only reason they are playable at all is because this card exists, like Blast to Oblivion and Arcane Astral Etchings, whatever it's called, Arcane Etchings. The thing that Etchings of Arcana, the common that if it surges, you get back a Sigil from your graveyard. Both those cards are basically only playable because Sigil of Brilliance exists, and it's just a pretty powerful card in Acilio. It's a specialization. No one else can play with it. And if Acilio is playable, it will have three Sigil of Brilliance in it for all of time.
Sure. Not on my list. It's a fine card. Okay.
Should I go to my number 9?
Go for it.
All right. I got my one common on the list at number 9. It's Fluttering Charge. This card, Fluttering Charge? Man, card names are hard. Fluttering Charge.
Fluttering Charge.
0/4. Attack action. Lightning. And if you play an instant on its combat chain link, it gets go again. So 0/4s with go again have been historically quite good. We see Scar for a Scar. We see Ravenous Rabble. We see Lightning Surge. And this is no exception. If as long as your deck is a lightning deck that can afford to play a decent amount of instants, this card is going to be great.
This is not the 0/4 lightning card that made my list. It's fine. I think it's about as good as Lightning Surge, maybe a touch better, but
Lightning Surge would be just on my list if we did Tales of Aria top 10.
Yeah, it's just 0/4 go agains, especially on Lightning, I think aren't super, like, they're good, but they're just kind of like the bread and butter, I guess, you know?
Sure. I would not argue with that. I do think that they are the bread and butter, but the bread and butter is good in this case. Like 0/4 is go again. That's a good rate. You want to be doing that.
Yeah. True.
What's your number 9?
It gives things go again that doesn't necessarily have go again. It is the new put 3 of this card in every Runeblade deck from now until the rest of time. Machinations of Dominion, which is the 0 for 3 blue 3-block, or sorry, 0 cost 3-block blue non-attack action at Majestic. The next Runeblade attack action card you play this turn gets overpower, and if you flayed or created an aura this turn, it gets go again, and that card itself has go again. So it is a non-attack action that gives an attack action go again, allowing you to play both an attack action and a non-attack action in the same turn and maintain an action point, something that I hear Runeblades like to do.
Yeah, this card did not make my list. I think that's because it requires the aura to be created to give go again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So most Runeblades are not creating an aura just by playing a non-attack and an attack action. That
most
is
most Runeblades are playing this card called Grasp of the Arknight.
Sure, but then if you're spending a card and 2 resources to give something go again, that's just a really bad rate. I'd rather play Lead the Charge.
So Vincent makes a rune chant for free at the start of her turn every turn. Viscerai basically makes the rune chant for free.
And but so after playing this, yeah, Viscerai gets this.
Yeah, so Chain gets this because it combos with Soul Shackle, so that's 3 Runeblades. And then so the only marginal one is potentially Aurora, and even then I think this card's good.
Oh, Briar, Florian, and Aurora all don't turn this on very well.
Yeah, Florian I guess doesn't, but Briar does.
How
does Briar make the
you get an embodiment of lightning if you played 2 non-attack actions, in which case your thing will have go again anyway because you created an embodiment of lightning, and your thing has to hit before you create the embodiment of earth.
Yeah, so you would get go again on the resolution of the combat chain and work, right?
Let me read this card, actually.
If you played or create an aura this turn, this gets go again. Yeah, that totally works. It's the same language as Swarming Loombale.
So that's kind
same
of...
It's okay, the same thing as Swarming Loombale.
I agree that sounds right to me. But the problem then is that now your opponent's like, oh, if I block this out, it will not have go again. So they're very heavily incentivized to block it out, which is sure, a pretty big weakness.
But it has overpower.
What gives it overpower? If it's a Runeblade?
The card action? Itself, yeah.
Yeah, there's strong Arbor Suites in the format, so in every format.
Runeblades were freaking playing Blue Lead the Charge for forever.
Okay. I do think this card is going to be good in Viscerai and Vincent. I don't think it'll be good in the other Runeblades. I think Chain doesn't actually want this because it only gives Runeblade attack actions this text, and Chain doesn't play that many Runeblade attack actions. He's full of Shadow attack actions, and he gets plenty of action points anyway. Maybe it'll be good enough. I guess we did play Blue Mauve and Chain. Okay, it's probably good enough for Chain.
I was about to say, his attack is just nothing but Shadow Runeblade attack, actually. There's Shadow Runeblade
cards. There's a lot of Shadow cards that aren't Runeblades. Like,
yeah, but there's a lot of Runeblade cards that are Runeblade cards.
Unhollowed Rites is a Runeblade card. What's the 1 for 4 that I love? Ghostly Visit. That
sure.
One. And the 2 for 5. Void Wraith. That one's all.
Yeah, nobody's playing Void Wraith in Living Legend, Michael.
Probably should be. Just saying. Throwing that out there. Yeah. It is good enough for Chain. This card probably does deserve a slot on my list. This is probably a mistake to not have it on my list. But that's okay. We're learning. We're living. It's also a blue block 3. And if Blue Mob is playable, then this blocking 3 is just better than Blue Mob.
Yeah. Great.
You're right. Good card.
Boom. We did it. All right. What's your number 9?
I already did my number 9. It was Slithering Courage.
Okay, what's your number? Do I do know my number 8 now?
What's your number 8? Hit me.
Channel the Millennium Tree.
Okay. Talk to me about this tree.
It has this line of text that says Amp 3. And Amp in 3 is real good. You get to push your surge effects. Nobody's running. It's almost impossible to block out that arcane damage because people have to start running AB4 if you're getting pinged for 1 in order to block out the total amount of the damage you get off this amp. And then it's also recurring amp, so turn after turn, you're getting this additional 3 arcane damage. Sure, you have to have the source of arcane damage to, you know, get the benefit of the amp, but for the heroes that kind of build their deck around it or use this card, it's just slam dunk, right?
Yeah, this card didn't make my list, but I do think it is fairly powerful. I think it's easy to overrate it, though, because if you play it one turn and you get 3 points value out of it, and the next turn you get 3 points value out of it, and then it goes away, you just two card six with go again, which is fine. That's not below rate. But if you ever play this card, you'll get the amp three out of it, and then the next turn you don't have a source of arcane damage, which can happen unless your deck is like full of a million arcane sources. It has to have like 40 plus arcane sources before you're like very, very low chance to miss on this. Like if you have 20 sources of arcane damage, you're going to miss on this 5-10% of the time. I don't know the exact math, but a real amount of the time. And that's a pretty big cost. And the fact that this doesn't go above rate means that it's not, I don't think it's actually going to be amazing. I think Vernus and Living Legend loves this card because buffing Kraken's Aetherbait is broken. But
yeah, that's part of the reason why it's also on my list.
I think outside of Living Legend, it wouldn't surprise me if any of the Earth heroes just don't play this in their decks.
I think Verdant will slam dunk this card 100% of the time.
Yeah, it really depends on what the Verdant deck is trying to do, I think. But
I mean, her weapon amps naturally, so she's already inclined to play Surge effects. And you're talking like a guy who's never been Mind Warp Surged yet in this format. And as somebody who's been Mind Warp Surged 6-7 times, it's not fun. It sucks.
Sure. I will not argue with you there. But if you play AB3 and you're just AB3 on the Mind Warp, how are you getting got?
Oh, you're right. I forgot every hero just has the AB3 just laying around all the time in the blue to pitch for it. Just it's easy. Everybody just simple. If you're playing AB3, just play AB3 and have the blue in all your decks all the time. Can't get got. That's how you won a world championship, Michael.
I did have AB3 in my deck when I won a world championship. I had AB5. That was
right. Yeah. Nobody's mind warping that.
Yeah. Again, I think that the tree is solid. I think that's it just isn't as slam dunk as some of the other cards in my list.
Hit me with a slam dunk then. What's your slam dunk?
My slam dunk, Succumb to Temptation. This is here, let me pull it up so I can read it. Put little pictures.
Yeah, I'll read it for you. It's a yellow 3-block non-attack action. It's right next to Machination of Dominion in the spoiler list. If you've dealt arcane damage this turn, you may play this as though it were an instant. The next Runeblade attack action card you control, or the next time a Runeblade attack action control hits a hero this turn, look at their hand, then choose a card. They discard it. Go again.
So someone once told me that Thoughtseize is pretty good. So someone on this podcast, I actually believe, we were talking about Lost in Thought. And Lost in Thought only takes attack actions, gives them a ponder token, costs a resource, blocks 2, is a red, has a lot of downside. This card costs 0, blocks 3. You can play as an instant, so you can cheat action points with it. All that it asks is you dealt arcane damage. And in the race matchups where you really want to be Thoughtseizing them, they're not going to want an arcane barrier rune chance. Sure, it's not good against the fatigue decks, but in aggro mirrors, if you're playing an aggro deck that's dealing arcane damage, like Viscerai, for example, Vincent also, this card's going to be great.
Sure. So you name Viscerai and Vincent. Name another Runeblade this card goes in.
That's just Viscerai and Vincent.
Well, then okay.
But so when I was making my list, I was like, which cards are going to warp the game and significantly change how heroes play? And I think this card falls into that category.
I do not. I've played with and against this card a number of times, and it doesn't line up all the way. Sometimes your opponents do just AB. They just have the extra blue lane around. They're like, this hand's not very good. I'll just AB a little bit, and then this card turns into do nothing. Sometimes you play this card after they take an arcane damage and they have a sink below, and then they block out your attack, and then this card just turns into an action point. So I think there's a lot of fail states on this card.
What matchups are opposing aggro decks having sink below? What aggro decks want to play sink
below? What aggro decks want to play sink below? Well, let's look. Let's look at the list of heroes real quick. So Aurora's not playing it. I guess Azalea's not playing it, or a being, so it's probably good against those heroes. It's probably good against Dio. And then I guess Acilio's not playing Sync Below. And I think that's it. Everybody else is playing some version of Dereox usually.
Yeah, I basically think this card is going to be exceptionally good in pure aggro races where you're not expecting your opponents to block very much. You're not expecting your opponents to Arcane Barrier very much if they're even bringing an Arcane Barrier against you. And I think that's when this card really shines, when your opponent has like very, very good. I think it's also great against KO, but when your opponent has is trying to just play two to four or three or four card hands back at you, and this can really disrupt their hand quite a bit.
Yeah, so I guess the reason why it didn't make my list is you talked about like other cards that have like the pseudo Thoughtseize effect and they do have fail cases as well. And I just think this card's fail case is a bit higher than you're giving it credit for. It's not like I get that in Vincent and Viscerai in particular, it will be turned on the most of the time in the aggro race matchups. I get it, but it doesn't fix. I know the list of Vincent lists are really tight. I don't know if it finds a home there, but I could be wrong. I'm not a Vincent expert, and those lists are wildly in development at the moment because she was unplayable 3 weeks ago. So maybe it finds a home in Vincent. And then, so Viscerai, I definitely agree that it finds a home in, but Viscerai still has the problem of like the all attack and all non-attack action hands, and this doesn't fix that. Sometimes you only have the one attack. It has to be the attack action card that hits. So if you just have like a swarming Loom Veil in this, and then, like I said, your opponent does have a D-react because they're a crazy person, then you can just get blown out by this, even if they've taken the arcane damage. So yeah, I agree that it's very good. I think it will see play. Maybe I'm just being too pessimistic on it.
Yeah, I do think that it gives a lot of value as an action point generator. If you've done non-attack attack, you're still getting the rune chant out of the deal from Viscerai. I think it'll be quite strong there. And Vincent's traditionally just played like really bad cards to give her an action point. So
yeah, true.
I think the fact that this gives her an action point, she has the ability to potentially make it on the arcane unblockable with her hero power if she plays a shadow non-attack action beforehand and can guarantee the arcane to turn this on. And yeah, I just think it is really strong. I think the ceiling of this card is super high, and I do think it's going to be bad sometimes when your opponent does play a Sync Below, maybe, or they arcane barrier the arcane damage for some reason. There will be spots where it's awkward, but I think for the most part this card will be quite good, and the times that it is good, it's going to be worth so much. Like, just imagine casting this against KO and taking their Blood Rush Bellow because they don't want to block on their Blood Rush turn. It'll be really, really impactful.
I might also be biased against this card because I had this in my Aurora sealed pool in the Calling, and it was the fanciest crack bobble I ever did see. It was the best block three crack bobble in the all the world in my sealed pool.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to use in sealed. Did you have the gloves that make a rune chant?
I did.
Okay. And that was your one source of arcane damage?
Yes.
Okay. That does seem tough. Tough to maximize it.
Yeah. Okay. What's your lucky number 7?
All right. My number 7 is Channel Lightning Valley.
Finally, we agree. That's my number 6. We're only one spot off there.
All right. So Channel Lightning Valley. It's a yellow, zero cost, lightning instant aura. The first time you deal damage to an opposing hero each turn, draw a card. Great. And then it has the channel text we've seen before, Channel Lightning. We've seen it on all the channel cards before, where you have to, at the end of your turn, you put a flow counter on it, and then you put a card of that element on the bottom for each flow counter on it. Otherwise, it goes away. So This card's really good. It's an instant, so it turns on your Flittering Charge, which is a card I talked about before. It also bounces Gone in a Flash, which is another card that is going to be on my list. A little bit of a spoiler there, but you really want the way that the new lightning heroes work, you really want impactful lightning instants that turns on the shoes as well, Lightning Greaves. to get an action point. And then it's pretty easy for this to be a zero cost draw too. If you do it once on your the first turn you play it, and then the next turn, or the first turn you play it, then your opponent's maybe not blocking you out. They don't know you're going to draw a card if you hit. It's not like Snatch where it's just big sign that says, I'm going to draw a card if this hits. This, you just flash it in after they say no blocks. And a lot of the time you'll get your first card. Then if you pitch one lightning card, then the next turn it's sitting in play. And if it's a hero that doesn't really want to block you out or can't block you out, you'll just draw another card off of it. And yeah, it's really, really powerful. Very, very good. Yeah,
it was one of the marquee cards spoiled for the set. So it makes sense why they would lead with a card this powerful when trying to hype up the set.
What was your number seven?
My number seven, this is honestly where I thought this would be our first deviation. I was like, I'm going to throw this at number seven. 0% chance this is on Michael's list. But hey, you know what? I am who I am. I got unsheathed at number seven.
This card's actually higher on my list.
That's crazy. Oh, man.
Every hero that is dual wielding swords forever will play this card. Every hero that has ever put Sharpened Steel in their deck, this is going to be an improvement for that. And they might play Sharpened Steel along with this. So I think that just like every sword warrior forever will play this as a three of in their deck.
100%.
And that sounds like a very good card to me.
Yeah. Blocks three, gives go again. So it's secretly has a lot of implied value tucked behind it as well, whether that be resetting Valiant Dynamos or giving you other conditions from your sword. Like if you are, it doesn't naturally give Dawnblade go again, but this combined with any other pump or 1+1 counter on Dawnblade then does get go again. I think it has interesting applications. I'm still early in testing with it, with being a interesting card in hybrid Raiden, where if you're switching between Sabers and Raiden packages, because you can just play this, give your attack with Raiden for three, and then play your charge card. So it's like the inverse of what you want to be doing, but in a pinch, you can do it. And then when you're not doing that, it lets you do follow-up things post Raiden swing and saving you a card for soul. So just seems interesting.
Yeah, I think like at worst in Raiden, it's a head jab that blocks three, which is fine. Like head jabs that block three are good.
Yeah, and that's its floor. So
And the ceiling is way higher. I actually had this at number three on my list. I think this card, like I said, every sword warrior forever will play this as a three of, and it gives a real bump to Dorinthea and Kasai and Bolton. I think all three of those decks are going to be notably better because this card exists.
I feel like there's another warrior, but oh well.
Something about I think his card got banned. I think Cashin got banned, so kind of rough to be that guy right now.
True. And there's just still no wage cards.
Yeah, poor Olympia. He's in a rough spot.
Betsy got a new wager card in the set.
Yeah, that card did not make my list. But
I actually think
access to that card does make Betsy notably better. The fact that you can throw a 4/8 that if your opponent doesn't block out, they're going to discard a card. That's real. They're going to block it out most of the time, but like, it's still a good threat. You can overpower it if you want.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I had an opponent, some Betsy's were cooking on early Talishar queues, and I had played into a couple of Betsy's, and they played this against me, and then I blocked it out and felt real good about myself.
Mm-hmm. Then you draw a card and they discard a card, but like ideally they're not
casting. Yeah, they didn't have any cards in their hand anymore, but I got my card back. So.
Yeah. You get a rebate on your block.
Yeah. So I had my number six as Channel Lightning Valley. What's your number six?
My number six is Arc Lightning. So this card is very high up, but I think this card does really, really powerful things. You can build around it and combine it with like Flicker Wisp and then just do like obscene amounts of damage. But even just by itself, I should read this card for everybody. Flicker or not Flicker Wisp. Where is it? It's not with the other Earth Majestics.
It's a Lightning Runeblade card.
Earth Lightning. Oh.
So it's all the way at the top. It's an Aurora specialization.
All right, Arc Lightning. Aurora specialization, lightning, zero cost, blocks two, pitches for yellow, or two resources. Whenever you go again this turn, deal one arcane damage to any target. The next action card you play this turn gets go again, and this has go again itself. So when you play this, you're getting one damage. Every time you do anything that has go again, you'll get one more damage. And this also gives your next attack or next action go again. So you can play this and then play like a snatch, for example. Now it has go again and it's going to ping them for one. So it's very easy for this card to be worth 3 or 4 value. You just have to do things that say go again 3 or 4 times. And this counts as one of them. Your sword costs 1 resource for 2 with go again after you play the lightning card. So pretty easy to get the first 2. And the next card you play is going to get go again. So combining this with like snatch, like I said, E-Strike's great with this. Command and Conquer, Weak as Link. Lots of great ways, things to combine this with that getting the extra action point on them is going to be very nice. Another card that I love, Gone in a Flash. Great to play after this. I just think it's very easy for this to get 4 to 6 value. And if you build around it, it's going to get even more than that. And that's really, really good. This is probably the reason to play Aurora. I think that if you're playing Aurora, you're going to play 3 copies of this card. And this card is strong enough that it might be enough to kind of pull Aurora into viability by itself.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like we're coalescing in the top 5 cards. At the bottom 5 cards, we were still all over the place. But top 5, we're homogenizing a bit. This was my number 5.
Okay, nice. So I guess we've done your 6, we've done your 5 now, so I should go to my number 5. Did you want to say anything else about Arc Lightning?
I was mid on this card for like a minute. And then somebody combined it with the Flicker Wisp, like you said, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sold. That was a good combination of cards. It was a lot of damage.
Yeah, that is a lot of damage. And if you do build around this, you can just like play equipment that has go again. Like you can play like Grasp. You can play the Lightning Greaves to give your instance go again. Play Grasp.
You know what the hottest piece of equipment people are still playing now because of this card?
What?
Crown of Dominion. Because you get a gold token that gives you go again.
Sure, sure. You can hard build around this and like generate lots of those tokens, and every time you use it, you'll have damage.
There was that meme video I think I posted somewhere or reposted in a Discord, but
someone had 24 silver and an Iron Lightning.
It was just a million silver. They cashed out, right? That's what you do. You destroy all your stuff and then you get a bunch of silver.
Yep. Yeah, this card's really, really strong. And
Che Roca on Twitter. There you go. That's who did it.
Cool.
All right. What do you got next?
All right, number 5, Malefic Incantation. This is going down to the Runeblade cards. This is a 0-cost Runeblade aura. It comes in all 3 colors. I am specifically talking about the red, though I think the yellow and the blue are situationally viable. This is a 0-cost. Has go again, blocks 2. Center, the red enters the arena with 3 verse counters. When it has none, destroy it once per turn. When you play an attack action card, remove a verse counter from this. If you do, create a rune chant token. So this is red 0/3 with go again. You have to play 3 attacks on 3 separate turns to get full value out of this. And that means if the game ends before that happens, which is real, then it kind of sucks. The card this reminded me of, though, is I think Runeblood Incantation, where it's a 1 cost. Or that does the same thing since the start of your turn. So in Viscerai specifically, this works very well with Mordred Tide, where you can play Mordred Tide, play this, and then your attack will make 2 rune chants from the trigger. So, and it also costs 0 instead of 1. So it's a lot better than Incantation. I think it's also great in Vinset as well, where you can play this and you have that rune chant generation. That's really, really important to building up your, what's it called? Rune gates. And I think even Florian might want this if you're like a mid-rangey Florian where once you've turned your hero power, you're getting 2 rune chants per time this triggers. And that's great. That's a 0/6 with go again if Florian's online all 3 times you trigger this.
Yeah, not on my list.
Okay.
It's just my eyes glazed over. Like I think it's good. It's just a rune chant generator, and rune chant generators are plentiful. And if you're playing OTK builds or things like that, then obviously you can't. It's the worst rune chant generator there because you don't want to be playing the attacks that you're trying to like build up the critical mass of them.
Sure.
So there are spots where something like Runeblood Incantation, is that what the card you said, right? The one for the other aura.
The one cost.
Yeah. Is just a lot better than this. Not always. And I think it's going to depend on what you're trying to do. I think Vincent's playing both this and the Rune Blood Incantation. So she likes a lot of rune chants in play, that's for sure. And Viscerae probably won't play both. He'll probably switch between this and the Rune Blood, depending on which build he's doing and what style of deck he's playing. But I don't think this will see play in Chain, and I don't think this will see play in Briar. So did not make my list. Basically, Machinations of Dominion was like the highest Runeblade class card, because I was like, oh, it's like every single Runeblade wants to put this in their deck for forever because it's a blue block three. And so if it was worse than Machinations of Dominion in my mind, where that goes in every single Runeblade deck that's a blue block three for forever, it did not make my list.
Yeah, I still don't think Briar wants Machinations, and I don't think Aurora wants Machinations, and
I don't think Aurora wants Malefic Incantation.
I agree. Boom. I don't think Aurora wants this card, though it's fine to include an Aurora. It's not a bad card. It's just 0/3. It's a hedge app that doesn't.
Yeah, Machinations Dominion is a fine card to include. It's a blue block three.
Well, how many Runeblade attacks are you putting in your Aurora deck? It's just worse than every other blue block three, right?
There's some Runeblade attacks you're putting in there. You're putting in Swarming Loomveil. You're putting in the Rune Rager Swarm, but I guess that doesn't really need go again.
In your Aurora deck?
I don't know, dude. I don't know how Aurora is being built. I don't play these Lightning Runeblades. I just beat them up. I don't notice what they do. They just die.
Okay. Yeah, so I do think this card is kind of a game changer for both Viscerae and Vincent, where it's just, if you are not trying to OTK, it just leagues better than the other rune chant generators. 0/3, go again, cost 0. So good.
All right. What do we got next?
I'm ready for my number 4. Where are you at on your list?
I am at my number 4.
All right, you go. I've got a few times in a row.
My number 4 is Germinate.
Go on.
It makes a lot of rune chants. It ends the game of Flesh and Blood in end games with Florian. And if Florian's going to be good, it's going to be because Germinate's good. And so if this card's not good, Florian's not good. They're intertwined, inextricably linked throughout all of time and history now between Florian and Germinate.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever playing a Florian deck without 3 copies of Germinate. Trying to think if there'd ever be a reason to do that. Even if you don't care what it does, it's Earth, it's a non-attack, it says 3 in the corner, it's blue. You're just playing it in every Florian deck forever. Didn't make my list because I've been playing a lot of Florian, actually, and the amount of times I've cast this card is very little. So I think it is slightly better than Blue Autumn's Touch, which Blue Autumn's Touch is a great card. Don't get me wrong, I love Blue Autumn's Touch, but I've not cast a lot of Germinate despite playing a lot of Florian. So I just decided not to put it on the list. I do think it is a good card, and there are times where you will cast it, but it's just good. It's fine.
Okay.
Much better in limited than constructed, where your opponent doesn't have access to Arcane Barrier.
Limited
games with this card.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was also my bias, where this card killed me a lot over the weekend. So maybe this is still just my limited bias showing through.
Yeah, I did 2 drafts with this card at the world premiere. Only one was in the tournament, one was just a practice draft. And I won a lot of games on the back of this card. It is very, very powerful. You make a bunch of rune chants, you get the life to survive to be able to attack the next turn with all those rune chants. You just win almost every game when you cast this.
I believe that.
Constructed, not quite as impactful, but still going to be a 3 of in every Florian deck forever. Okay, my number 4 is Rampant Growth Life. This card is Verdansis Specialization. It's not her specialization, actually. It is a split card that is Earth and Wizard. So you have to be an Earth Wizard to cast it. So it's basically a Verdant specialization until we get another Earth Wizard. And the Rampant Growth part of it says Amp X, where X is the total life you gain this turn. Both halves of the card cost 0, and the life side gains 1 life. So by itself, you're getting a life, amping 1. That's okay. 0/2 instant, not great. It's yellow, so it pitches for two, so that's about what you expect. But as soon as you play one other life gain effect before this card, it's very, very efficient, where if you play a Sigil of Solace and then you play Rampant Growth Life, you are getting 5 points of value out of this card because you're amping four and getting the one life, which is great. And you can also build around this card and go very, very deep on it and play like Healing Potion and multiple Sigils, or like Count Your Blessings, or whatever you want to do. Fruits of the Forest is another good one that goes well with this. And if you're a Vertus deck, you probably want to gain life anyway, because that's her whole hero ability, only triggers if you gain life. And yeah, it's just really powerful. I have not done a lot of exploring with Verdance yet, but I think that without this card, I was really wondering what Verdance would look like in Constructed. She didn't seem like she made any sense. And then they gave us Rampant Growth Life, and now I'm like, okay, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, sorry. I was just having a little funeral in my mind for the Living Legend format. It was a good format for a good while there. It was fun. But not so fun anymore. Not so fun.
Yeah, you've been seeing some people combine Rampant Growth Life with Kraken's Aetherbane.
Yeah, just casually drawing like 13 cards in a turn. And it's just like, okay. Well, that's a thing you can do in Flesh and Blood now, I guess. And unless you have AB13 laying around, you can't really do much about it. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I can put like 3 Poison the Well in my sideboard as like a counter tech card. You know, I played a lot of new, and people were playing like Snag in their sideboards to hose me on like my attack action cards for good value. But like, if you turn off a full Rampant Growth turn cycle with this, then that seems like a lot of value, considering that's like what their entire deck wants to be doing. And then I realized Poison the Well only works on the first time you gain life, or the next time you would gain life that turn. I thought it turned off life gain for the whole turn. And when I was like, oh yeah, this card's good. Like, you want to hose life gain this turn. Cool. Do the thing. Snag hoses the whole turn. It's not the next attack reaction this turn doesn't get buffed. No, it's just the whole turn. No attack reactions on your attack. Okay, cool. I get it. Cool. Poison the Well is just the next time a hero would gain life, they lose that much life instead. So they just go, oh, I lose one amp off my life portion of this. I lose one, but I'm still amping for like 6. And then I would like to draw 10 cards, please.
Well, okay. Ramping for 6 doesn't draw 10 cards. But ideally, you can.
It is when they have a channel Millennium Tree outside or on the field, too.
Sure. Ideally, you don't time the Poison the Well in response to the life. You do it in response to one of the bigger life gain things they're doing before this, either like a Fruits or a Sigil. And then if they respond with Rampant Growth Life, then yeah, or not respond. They let your Poison the Well resolve and then respond to their own thing with Rampant Growth Life. The life will eat your Poison the Well, but then Rampant Growth will have to resolve before the other life gain effects resolve. True. So Poison the Well is usually going to be worth 4 to 6 value plus. They're 4 to 6 value on the healing spell itself, where you're stopping at 2 or 3. And then you're also making the Rampant Growth amp for that many less, which also means they're going to crack his Aetherbane for significantly less. I think the biggest problem, though, is a lot of the life gain is instant speed. So maybe you play out your turn and then you're like, okay, I have one resource floating, no cards in hand. And then they're like, okay, I play Sigil, I discard a Fruits of the Forest, I play Rampant Growth Life, and then I crack his Aetherbane.
Yeah.
And then what I don't know what you're supposed to do about that. It's tough. It's like kind of like Kano, I guess, where you die to their wildfire combo, but they don't need to like hope for the right things on the top of their deck. They don't need as much stuff to go right. They just need life gain
card and this in a blue.
Yeah. So yeah, this card, very strong in Living Legend, also probably pretty strong in Class Constructed, and the only reason that Verdance might be playable.
If Verdance is good, this card's got to be good, so yeah.
But this one is like, so the reason I put this like way higher than Germinate is because this card like drags Verdance from the dumps to like potentially good. Like, if Verdance is good, it's because of this card, whereas if Florian is good, it's probably not because of Germinate. He's probably playing Germinate. It's a blue earth block three, but that's not like why he is good.
That's fair. Maybe I just haven't played against Florian against enough decks where it's just like in all my grindy mid-range decks that I play, I only ever lose to Florian because of Germinating Class Constructed. Like nothing else he does really bothers me all that much. Like he's got like some 3/8s and I'm just like, okay, I'll block a little bit. It's fine. I can AB a little bit. Like nothing he's doing is that scary to me at all, usually on a turn to turn cycle until he plays a Germinate and he builds up like 12 rune chance out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh, I gotta deal with this now, I guess.
Yeah. I don't want to insult your opponents, but I'm wondering like why their decks aren't doing other things until they play Germinate. I feel like you should be doing things.
I don't know.
All right. Where'd you put this on your list?
It was number one.
Okay, cool.
If you break the Living Legend format and completely warp an entire game's worth of meta around the most powerful things that have ever been done in the game of Flesh and Blood, and there's a new card that breaks that format, it's number one. It's the most powerful card in the set in my mind.
I think I feel like Kraken's Aether Vein is what's breaking Living Legends now. This card would not be particularly good without Kraken's Aether Vein.
Oh, true. Yeah, but
I'm giving Kraken's Aether Vein the credit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
why does it say a card for each damage you deal, not just if you deal damage this way?
Yeah, lots of cards suck in a vacuum and then are completely broken with combined with other cards. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that Kraken's Aether Vein is also potentially problematic.
This card's unplayable in a vacuum. You know, it's just amp one, gain one life. If it doesn't do anything, it doesn't do anything else. There's no, you have to combine it with other cards for it to be good.
All right, what's your number four?
My number four was Germinate.
Oh. All right, what's your number three?
Mine was Felling of the Crown.
Okay.
This is not on your list. If this isn't on your list, I'm gonna be so sad. It's the other card that they spoiled alongside of Channel the Lightning Value. It's the premier pushed card of the set, showcasing the mechanics of Earth with Decompose. It's 3/8, block 3 red with 4 power, and you're like, yawn. But if there are 4 or more Earth cards in your banner zone, it becomes a 3/8, gets plus 4 power. And then when it attacks, if you decompose your opponent, everybody has to put a card from their hand on the bottom of their library.
Yes, nice and symmetrical. Everyone has to do it. Just like with Codex of Frailty, everyone has to discard a card.
Yeah.
This card's number one on my list. This card's very, very broken. It is the reason to decompose in your Earth decks. It is the payoff and the enabler for decompose. It's just so strong. 2/8 that also gets rid of a card from your opponent's hand. Just crazy good.
So we both have the top three cards. Was your
my four third was or three? Unsheath.
Okay. We were close. So your four was Rampant Growth. My one was Rampant Growth. So but we agree on number two.
By
process of elimination. Like,
number two, gone in a flash. This 0-cost, 4-attack, lightning, attack action card, blocks 3. That's great. It's a wounding blow that says lightning on it. That's why this card's good.
Yep, no other combos you can do with this card.
Now, what is the text on this wounding blow, you might wonder? When this attacks, the next time you play an instant card, this chain link, you may return this to its owner's hand. That's very, very good. Suddenly, your 0/4 is recurring.
Remember, yeah, were you about to say Endless Arrow?
I was about to mention Endless Arrow.
Yeah, imagine if your Endless Arrow just didn't have to hit.
Yeah, you just get it back. All you gotta do, you just play a card.
This is more endless than Endless Arrow.
So, we've seen, I have seen there's been some images of some Acilio combos where you're activating Lightning Greaves and playing this 5+ times in a turn to deal like 20+ damage in a turn. I don't think you need to be doing that for this card to be quite good. Just playing one instant, just drawing, getting a 0/4 that draws a card essentially when you play that instant. That's very, very good. And I think the ceiling of this card is much higher. And it doesn't care if it hits, it's just coming back. You also want to be careful and make sure you time your instance during the resolution step so that the damage has already happened. You want your go again to resolve and then you want to bounce this.
Yes, true. All right. Yeah.
Very, very good.
We didn't agree on everything, but we agreed on a lot of things.
We did. The top of our list were a lot closer than the bottom of our lists.
Yeah. which makes sense. I don't feel that strongly. I guess I don't, maybe I lost my mind a little bit with Germany. I think Germany's the one that I'm regretting the most now, since you're so low on it. But everything else, I feel good about on its placement here.
Yeah, I feel like my biggest regret is the Runeblade Gauigan thing. That should definitely be on my list somewhere.
Machinations of Dominion.
Yeah, yeah. You are right. Blue block three mobs, guys.
Wait, what was that? What was the first part you said?
You were right.
Yes. Best three words in the English language put together.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for this format. I wish now we can talk about why, what heroes and what the rankings for all these heroes are next week. Although people probably have a good indication based on how we talk this episode, but maybe not. I think I got a few hot takes, I think, ready to go.
Yeah. We have to put a lot of thought into this. I'm not going to be playing very much Flesh and Blood over the next week. So, and I don't think there's any CC tournaments happening to give me some insight. So I'm just going to kind of be going on.
No, because if they were, Brody would be there. And Brody's going to be at your house.
Brody is going to be at my house.
So there's no... You were very lucky that LSS blessed you with no events on your birthday weekend.
There's a calling in Sydney.
Oh, wow. I'm actually shocked he chose your... Brody must love you. He chose your birthday over a calling in Sydney? He chose Sydney's hanging really out with you away. Over 20 hours in an airplane one way and 20 hours on the way back? 40 hours in an airplane?
Is it really only 20 hours to get to Sydney? I feel like I don't think I'd ever seen a 20-hour trip to Sydney. I feel like it's like in the 25 to 30 range whenever
I really look. I just assumed it was slightly closer to than Japan, but I shouldn't do things again.
Physically it is further, and there are also probably more layovers to get there than Japan.
No, you can do it in like the shortest flight I'm seeing is like 21 hours.
Okay, that's pretty good. That is better than the last time I looked at flights to Australia.
Yeah, I mean, like, the longest one is, like, 35 hours if you do, like, a bunch of layovers, yes. But there is United from Indianapolis to Sydney in 21 hours and 35 minutes, which is shorter than my flight to Osaka, which is, like, 24 hours and, like, 50 minutes.
I'm not looking forward to that flight. I am looking forward to being in Osaka, but the flight is going to be rough.
True.
Never done longer than, a 12-hour trip before, so.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it either, but you know what? It'll be a good time. I'll be stuck in the air with very limited things to do. Sounds like the perfect time to study law school stuff. That's pretty much those 2 days I have in the air. That's when I'm going to become a master of the law. I'm going to be a sky law master by the end of those trips.
So, sounds like a plan. I am going to be playing probably something on my Steam Deck or Switch. I don't know what yet. We got some time to pick out some good games.
Okay. Anything else before we wrap things up?
There's a lot of powerful cards in the set. I am interested to see what happens with this format with all these new powerful cards introduced.
True. Very true. Well, the next time you're playing with lots of powerful cards in Rosetta, always remember, mind your manners.